I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start tonight in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. I'll read from the first verse. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above my measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I don't think that was strange, that after Paul's spectacular event, I don't know, I've never had an experience like that, and that definitely was beyond the normal for that to have happened. It isn't a bit surprising to me that after he went through that, that then he has this other trial come. It's just the way it is. It's just life. We'll have the times of high times of mountain experiences. We'll have the times of closeness with the Lord. We'll have the times of rejoicing, those kind of things. But it's inevitable. It's inevitable you're gonna come and face something. I think of Elijah and his competition with the prophets of Baal and how he won such a victory there before him, and everything was on his side, and just right after that, he's finding himself just down at the bottom. He's down at the bottom, not knowing what's going to happen. Right after this, here comes this buffet, the buffeter. Here comes this trial. I think probably we all say, "Yep, been there." There's a scripture that alludes to the idea that God sets up prosperity and adversity, almost like dominoes that's ready to fall. Prosperity falls, and then the domino hits another one, and it's adversity that's fallen, then it falls. Prosperity, that man wouldn't know what follows. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. Maybe tomorrow's domino will fall for prosperity for me. Maybe. And then maybe it'll be adversity. Something's going to fall. But that's the way life is. I'm not surprised at Paul's situation here. But he says something that I think is very important. Probably one of the most influential statements in Christianity belongs right here. He said, I sought the Lord thrice. I sought Him three times to remove this. That is what we would all do, isn't it? We have the right, the privilege, to be able to know in faith that our God hears us, and that I can bring my troubles to Him, and I can put them on Him, and I can by faith know that this is the right thing to do. I'm going to take this situation that is dragging me down. It's wearing me out. It's something that's hindering my forward progress. It consumes me.
my time. No, he had to be thinking about this. This wasn't something that was just something that he could have shelved or he wouldn't have worried about it. It was something that was on him. He had to deal with. So he does what all of us would do. He's got the right to do it, the privilege to do it. He took it to the Lord. And with the expectation that this is the way we get something done. Folks, listen, we serve a God that can do something. I mean, we serve a God that can take care of these kind of problems. He can change this situation. If this is a buffeter of Satan, he can run Satan buffeter off. God can do anything, and this is right to do. But when he done this, he got a surprise. Because the Lord didn't take away that buffeter. The Lord didn't take that thorn in the flesh away. But he said something that echoed through the Christian faith all since then. And it is, my grace is sufficient for thee. Friend, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now I think it's a mistake for us not to avail ourselves of the grace of God. I think that the grace of God, it can't be, how to say this? It's a mistake to not realize how important and how strong it is. It would be to our own detriment to minimize the importance of God's grace or the power of His grace. Because the idea of needing how much we need God's grace is self-evident. If you live for the Lord, it's self-evident. It won't be long before you're going to run up against something in your humanity. Now listen, if your desire and purpose is not to serve the Lord fully, you won't notice this very much. But if your desire and purpose is to have the fruit of Christ in your life at all times, no matter what the circumstance, you're going to find out you really need this grace. You're going to need this grace for your attitude to hold right, for your faith to hold right, for your courage to hold up. You're going to need the grace of God and all of these things if you're wanting to have the graces of Christ. If you want to have love in your heart, no matter what, you're going to need the grace of God. If you're going to want to have a general attitude, you're going to need the grace of God. Some more than others. But it's very important that we don't shortchange the idea that we need the grace of God. And as for the power of God's grace, to realize that we are going to stand in judgment, and we won't be able to say, Lord, it was too big for me. Let us know how important the power of the grace of God is. And how much we need that power. Because like I said, there isn't anything that my mind can come up with that belongs to humanity. Nothing that I can come up with that's ever been an experience of humanity that I can think of that the grace of God can't cover. That the grace of, the power of the God's grace can't keep it right in the middle of it. Think of the most hideous things that you can think of, and you can't say the grace of God isn't able to take care of it. You can't say it. It's totally able to do it. People have exercised the grace of God throughout the Christian faith since Christ came. They have exercised this to be able to perform the most inhuman things. To be able to be successful in the middle of the most severe battle, the hardest conflicts, The most serious things, I have to acknowledge, I haven't even come close to some of these things that I've had to go through. I can only imagine. I heard a story recently of a guy that was engaged to this woman to be married, fell in love with her and was engaged to marry her. And she came up missing. And what happened to her? They're engaged. They're about to be married. And she's gone. Something happened to her. Somebody took her. Of course, right away, the police, something happened to her. Somebody took her. Somebody done something bad with her. Oh, this is a terrible thing. Well, after a while, they're investigating, and her credit card number come up somewhere, and they're going to chase this guy down now. This is something bad. Then I think they get a cell phone deal. Somebody had her cell phone, too, and they made a call and was able to contract the call. Then they caught it down, and they got it into this thing, and the police rush in, and FBI is involved. We're going to go find this. And finally, they're going to catch the guy, and they bust into this place, and they didn't find the guy. They found her. She was in there. Right before the wedding, she finds this guy on the internet and runs off and meets him and takes off. Talk about needing the grace of God. People run into things abnormal all the time. I'm not saying this guy claimed the grace of God. I just remember thinking, boy, would you need the grace of God for something like that? For all of the evil things that happens in this world. Folks, we need the grace of God. And it is so available, it's so needful, and it's so powerful. But I want you to notice something here. Paul needed something. He needed something. And in his need, in process of his need to be fulfilled, I think Paul was a spiritual man, and I think he was close to the Lord. But there was an element here that he didn't know what the answer was. He assumed the answer was that God was going to perform some miracle or movement or do something that was be able to remove him out of this situation. But the Lord spoke to him and said, "That's not, Paul, what I'm going to do. But I am going to do something for you more than you asked for. Because I'm going to give you something in this that's going to be better than what you think you've asked for. I'm going to give you the grace of God. I'm going to touch your heart. I'm going to give you something that's going to change your outlook on it. Going to give you power over it. You're going to be able to testify to a power that don't belong to you." Do you know that the greatest things that I've experienced in my experience in the Lord, we have experienced a lot of healings in the Lord. I agree. The day of miracles not over. God's answered our prayers for our children, we've had the Lord do a lot of things. I've had the Lord work in my ministry and giving me thought, prayer. I mean, the Lord's done a lot, but none of those things are what really stands out to me. What stands out to me as the most dynamic, the most special, is the time when the Lord's with me. When I feel the presence of the Lord and the presence of His grace, that is what's more important, more valuable. It's what's more needful. It is needful for us to have the grace of God in our lives. And folks, listen. He prayed 3 times. He sought the Lord for this. That this was so valuable. Like I said, we can't underestimate the need of the grace of God or the power of the grace of God. We should never underestimate that. But it all is contingent on how much we really want to have those qualities of God in our lives. Because that's what it come to make. That's what it tries to do. This is what it done for Paul. In the middle of this, he was going to show that you can be right in the middle of your problem. And God wants to show the world that right in the middle of heartache, you can be sweet. Right in the middle of persecution, you can bless. Right in the middle. These things are what belongs to the Christian. That's what we ought to seek for. Lord, help us through your grace to be able to achieve these things that you want us to. And that's so valuable. So he says, and this, I think this echoes through the ages of Christianity. I wonder how many people have used this. I wonder how many people have used this. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, Lord, I need your grace. You know what? The idea of sufficient also says, to me, it suggests this. If the level's here, that's where grace is going. If the level's here, here's where grace... You know, it's not. No, it's here. It takes care of it. And as that fire burns hotter, the grace goes up too. And as it gets more intense, grace comes up through the intention. And then as it gets overwhelming, grace goes overwhelming. It's sufficient in any, in everything, and able to take care of the needs that we have. And I am so thankful that God's got grace for us. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you can fail of the grace of God. God has grace, but it isn't just, if you want to use it this way, inherent to Christians. In other words, what I'm saying is, just becoming a Christian doesn't give you all the grace that you ever need for a time and tomorrow, and you'll never have to worry about it again. That isn't inherent to it. In other words, we have the ability for it. It's promised to us, but we can fail of the grace of God. And it happens over and over again that Christians come up short of the grace of God, and then it's almost like, Lord, you just didn't give me enough grace. No, you didn't find that grace. You didn't seek for that grace. You didn't put value to that grace. That grace is there. I say this, what if Paul would only prayed twice? If the Lord wouldn't have answered him on three, he'd have prayed four. And if he didn't get the answer that he needed in his soul or this moved on the fourth prayer, you know what he'd have done? He would have prayed again. He would have sought again. The answer isn't in the three. It was that he prayed three times and the answer come. We can fail of the grace of God when we don't put the importance on it to be able to say, Lord, I'm here till I get it. I see the potential of this trial destroying my ability to witness for you. I see this as an inability to be what you would have me to be. And Lord, I'm after grace for it. Lord, you're going to have to remove it or do something in me because it's bigger than I am. I need help. And you know, I as a minister, I'll just say, and I feel like the Lord's blessed me sometimes ministering. And there'll be times that the Lord pours out. I say, well, thank the Lord. And boy, that was a glorious time. And the Lord done this. And then the next day, who knows? Next day, things is gone and you feel like this. And I'm going to tell you, just for the honor of the Lord, the thought to us, sometimes there's yes, we appreciate you so much, brother. And you're something like this. And then the next day, why, let me crawl under a rock. Grace. I need grace. I want to match this or use another scripture. Just to bring out a point, it's in Matthew, the 12th chapter. The 39th verse says, but he answered and said unto him, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of prophet Jonas. For Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, I'll pretend to know all this, but if I take this in any sense the way it says it, it's referring to the idea that somebody done better than you did. Right? And these people, if you take this literally for what he said, he was saying that in judgment, when the judgment comes, and there's an excuse given for why they didn't repent, there's going to be somebody that is so much less likely to have done it, that's going to be able to stand up and say, we did it. What you can't accomplish and what you couldn't wrap your mind around and what faith you couldn't get and what grace you couldn't get or what grace you didn't get, there's going to be somebody rise up and say, I did. By God's grace, I overcome that situation. By that situation, I overcome. They said of that of the men of Nineveh. And then he said it of the queen of the south, and moving the point that there was something there. There is a scripture that says when Jesus comes, he's going to bring the saints with him. I always thought that they were talking about it, the saints is going to be the ones that come up for the witnesses. And when we say, I just couldn't get along with them, they're going to, because they was mean to me. There's going to be somebody that's going to rise up that was persecuted much more than you ever was. That's going to say, by God's grace, I loved them anyway. By God's grace, I was able to perform what the Lord would have me to. By God's grace, I remained holy through a perverted world. Well, if you said this world is too perverted, it's too filthy, it's too dirty, there's too much to look at, I can't control my eyes, I can't control my ears, I can't control... There'll be somebody that'll rise up in a perverted world and say, by God's grace, I kept my eyes where I was supposed to have them. I kept my hands where I was supposed to have them. I didn't do what I did do. By God's grace, He gave me the ability to overcome myself. And to think that is where we'll all have to come to realize your situation is not stronger than the grace of God. That we won't be able to make the claim, I couldn't do it. We won't be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I was too weak to be able to accomplish your righteousness. I was too weak to be able to accomplish your holiness. Because the Lord will then call on the witnesses. And I'll say there'll not be one. There'll be a multitude that'll stand up and say, by your grace, we was able to overcome. Thank the Lord for the grace of God. I want to shift gears just a little bit. Over in Genesis, if you'll follow me in this reading, third chapter of Genesis is the I'll just read it from the start. First verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said, woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Well, you know, one of the most common practices that we have as people is to try to pass the buck. If I somehow fail in my pursuits of the Lord or of natural things and that kind, it's really easy for the first thing for me to do to look around and try to find who to blame. Now, if there's anything that is even remotely somebody else's fault, that's what I'm going to do. If I'm running along and somebody happens to have thrown a piece of trash, I look over and I look at the trash and run into a tree, I'm going to blame the guy that threw the trash out there. I mean, that is just the way that we work and operate. We'll find the blame. We'll find an excuse if we can. So Adam comes along, and the Lord comes, and Adam said, and the first thing he says, that woman, the woman that you made to be with me. If he hadn't said all of that, it wouldn't have had the same ring to it. But when he starts and said, if he had just said, I'm going to tell you something. The way you say things tells what's in your heart. Now listen, can I express this different and see if you can feel it different? Yeah, Lord, that precious darling Eve you give me, eat of it, and I wanted to go with her. Now, does it sound different, doesn't it? To even say Eve sounds different. But when you say the woman that you gave me, now whose fault is it when you make an expression like that? Your God, did you not know better than that? I mean, didn't you know? I mean, you know everything. You're supposed to know everything. Did you not know that she was going to do this? I mean, you should have known that she was going to do that. It's her fault that I'm going to tell you something about the grace of God. For the husbands here, you won't be able to say, my wife made me do that. And you know why? Because there's a grace of God. God's grace is powerful enough for us to stay true. Even when the closest ones there have always been that. They almost say it both ways for you, sis. There is the grace of God. And there is somebody that's had it worse than you have. There is people that have been awfully treated. But yet the grace of God is able to keep us in those situations. And it is, I know it's tough, I'm not minimizing it. But there is a grace that will equalize it. There is a grace that will equalize it. There is a grace, and then it will always equalize it. But it is up to us. We can fail of the grace of God, but we don't have to fail of the grace of God. And then Adam says, it was the white woman. She gave it to me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Well, it was the serpent. Hey, folks, listen. I think it's okay to blame the devil. Pull him out there. Devil's trying to do something on this. But I'm going to say this for an excuse. It ain't going to hold up. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. So how did he get to be greater than you then? How did he get to be greater? How did he do that when greater in you than he in the world? I want to say this. The devil is talking to you, talking to me. He's trying to get us subtle. He's trying to set traps. He's trying to do all that. Everything that he can do, there's a grace of God for. Everything. There is no excuse for me to say it was an evil world. The world's too evil and we're just going. I mean, it touches us and it does. Well, it's trying to. Well, I want to tell you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Where love of many is going to wax cold. It's going to get worse and worse to the end. But where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. Where iniquity abounds, the grace of God, there's more. There's more grace, he said. More grace. We can't underestimate the need for it or the power of it. It is up to you and I, though, to avail ourselves of the grace of God. The power is there for us to overcome in this world. And people have proved it and proved it and proved it down through the time. Oh, but we're so quick. And Lord help us, but we're so quick to want to find, immediately find, who's at fault for this? Who done this? This is the fault. This is what happened. Oh, here, God blame. It can't be me. It can't be me. Lord, it can't be me. You know what? No matter what happens when I underperform, it's me. It's me. When I underperform, it's not you. I don't know what your involvement may be in it. But if I underperform, I'm going to say, you ain't powerful enough to make me underperform. You can't be nasty enough, mean enough, or deliberate enough, or malicious enough to make me fail. If I get the grace of God. The devil can't make you fail if you get the grace of God. Don't underestimate the need for the grace of God. We should always be availing ourselves of that divine power that enables us to live what God would have us to live in this present world. Because it's available to us. He wants us to avail ourselves of it. We'll look at another passage. Oh, let's try 2 Kings. Oh, let's see, 24th verse. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today. And we will eat thy son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, they rent his clothes and he passed upon the wall. And the people looked and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. It's Elijah's fault. That must be it. We got besieged by Syria. We got besieged by him up here. It's got so bad up here that people's eating their own children. And it's Elisha's fault. Do you know there is nothing that can happen in the realms of nature. This wasn't Elisha's fault. One of the things that we need grace for, probably the most, is the ability to see ourselves and humble ourselves before the Lord. Instead of saying, it's the church's fault. Oh, I'm going to tell you how many times in my years of 30 years of living for the Lord that I've seen people that come up short in their walk with the Lord that others found grace for. In the problems that we are because we're human and the personalities and sometimes just wrong things. Then there's this blame goes out. Do you know what? There's grace. There's the grace of God. It must be Elisha's fault. He's the one that called for this. He's the one that can do something about it. It's Elisha's fault. No, it's not. It's your fault. You've been lean. You've been worshiping idols. You've been doing wrong things. You know, it takes a grace of God. Lord, help us to have a grace that we'll have the ability to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, where am I at in this whole thing? And what do you want me to do that I might be the one that can make it better? No, you're supposed to make it better. You did this. You did this. Oh, you did this. Wait a minute. What about me? What about the grace that I can have in this? You know, if we all pursue this grace, don't underestimate the need of it, folks. And don't underestimate the power of it. It is both powerful and needful. And it is what can alter us and put us in the right place. I had a problem one time. I had a problem because I didn't have enough grace. I had a problem with some ways some things was going. So I went to Brother Jim. And I said, Brother Jim, I got a problem. Well, what's your problem? I started telling him this and this and this. I know, Brother Marty. And do you know this? Yep, that's right. He said, that's all true. Well, this, and it shouldn't be that way. That's right. And I laid it out to him, just spilled my heart, and Brother Jim said, You're right. It is that way. Well, I had him on my side. And he got through, he said, you're right. And now I'm going to tell you. These other people saw that just the way you did. And he told me. These people, this person, they saw it just the way you did. And this person over here, and this person, they saw it the way you did. And this people over here sought God and got the grace of God. And these people over here didn't seek God and get the grace of God. Now you be a judge of which one you want to be. I said, thanks, Brother Jim. I don't need to go harping on that, trying to dig it out, do all this stuff. I need the grace of God. I know what side I want to be on this. I want to be right in my soul. I want to stay saved. I want to stay true. I want to have the right attitude. So what are you going to do? You going to change it? You going to not? What are you going to do? Okay, thank you, Brother Jim. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get the grace of God for this. You know what I done? I went and got the grace of God. And you know what I found out? There was a plenty. There was plenty of grace for that stuff. I wasn't overwhelmed by that stuff. It didn't eat me up anymore. It didn't consume my time anymore. It didn't eat up. The grace was sufficient for me. And I was able to overcome what could have destroyed me. I could have been the one that looked and said, oh, Church of God people, all that stuff. No, there's grace of God for it. And I'm able to see it clearly because there's a grace of God. This king says it's Elisha's fault. No, king, it's not Elisha's fault. You need the grace of God. You need to be able to see what this is for real so you can say, Lord, how can we avoid these kind of things? There's a famine. There's a famine coming. There's a famine there. And why? Because these people wasn't serving the Lord. They didn't have the grace. They wasn't doing what they should have done. I won't turn to it, but I want to mention. You remember the story of Saul, King Saul? King Saul was chosen because he was little in his own sight. He was a humble man. He was chosen to be king, and he let it go to his head. And he done things and he become king and the king can do and say and do that and he got lifted up in himself. And the prophet comes by and tells him the Lord's spoken. And it's time that we exact some revenge and the Lord's ready to do some stuff against these people. So the Amorites, you're supposed to go down and destroy, utterly destroy them. Get them all. So he does, goes down there. When he comes back, the prophet comes to him and they're on their way back and he meets him and says, I've done the will of God. Did you? Did you do the will of God? Yep, I'm living for the Lord. I'm doing the will of God. then what's the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen here? Well, the people. Why, it ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. What was I supposed to be? You know, nobody loves a tyrant. I'll give them a little say in this stuff. They wanted to bring it and sacrifice it. The people did it. Hey, listen, prophet, I'm out of this. I'm out of this. I'm king, but I'm not, the people wanted to do it, and I'm out of it. That don't work. It don't work. You're responsible. Now, we live in a time of much, especially for young people, this is going to be a lot. You're going to face peer pressure all your life. And when you get my age, you don't care. Not nearly like you do now. I'm going to tell you, it'll get better. It don't touch me like it used to. I'll just say that. Don't do it. But there is pressure. And we still have this idea about people. And we want to please people. And we want to do this. Do you know there's a grace for you to do right, no matter what people think about you? And people's going to think about you about something. But there is a grace that the Lord wants us to be able to get a hold of, avail ourselves of, that if we are standing alone, I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's, you know what, we're dealing with our minds. We're dealing with our minds, the mental things, and anybody that's sensitive and cares about things, we got a mind, and we're touched by things. And we think about these things. And you know, there is a grace of God to give you a sound mind with a surety of your mind and a comfort in your mind that can completely overwhelm these thoughts of pressures about what people do and say. It's the people did it. The people did it. I'm going to tell you, the prophet did not take that for an excuse. The gospel Lord didn't take it for an excuse. You're the king. You can't go around blaming others. There was the ability, Saul, for you to do what was right, and you didn't do it. But you could have. Could Saul say that, Lord, it was too big for me? Nobody ever was able to do that. And the Lord's going to say, Abraham, come here for a minute. Witness to this guy about what you did. I left my own countrymen. I left my people. And I sojourned in a land where it was. And he said, oh, Saul, what did you do? I paid attention to what the people said. There's going to be a witness. All of that, there'll be a witness. Noah, come here. Witness to him a minute. What did you do? Me and my family, we built that ark. All those people, they thought we was crazy. All those people, they didn't help. All those people, we preached and they never listened. All those things. What'd you do, Saul? That don't hold up. It's not going to hold up. We can be faithful. And no matter what the situation is, there's grace. There's grace against the events of life. There's going to be storms, literal, figurative, storms that's going to come into our lives. Can I trust God through that? There's been people that did. There's been people that trusted God through the most terrible storms of life. There's been people that have lost their whole families and come out just by themselves. And you know what you say? It's just there's been a lot of people done that. Through the ages. And they had the grace of God. To be able to say. I wonder what old Job. How many times old Job might going to be one of those witnesses in the judgment. How many times that somebody's going to say. The Lord did me wrong. I had all this stuff. The Lord took it from me. I don't serve a God like that. And there's going to be an old Job rise up and said. Naked. Did I come into the world a nail on the lip? Dust I was, dust I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It happened to me. And be able to stand as a witness. In closing, I want to look at one more scripture. Oh, it's familiar to you, I'm sure. It's in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In the last verse, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly. The idea of this, you know, boldly and humility are not opposites. You might think they are. They almost seem like they are, because bold almost seems like you. But you know, being bold and being humble, they're not opposites. You can come boldly, and the boldly you're coming, the why it's not an opposite, it is the boldness that is portrayed here is not a self-boldness. We're not coming boldly because we think we're worth it. Nobody's worth it. You don't come to the throne of grace thinking that you're worth it. You come boldly, and the reason, in the context of this scriptures, you can come boldly because we have a high priest. We've got one that's waiting there for us, that's going to be an intercessor for us, so we can come boldly to Him to get every bit of the power and strength that we need to be able to be successful in life. Now, if you're not being successful in living for the Lord, then I would suggest to you that maybe it's a grace problem. Because you can't look at me and say that I'm capable of living this way. You can't look at Paul and say he was capable this way. Without the grace of God, he was a murderer and a persecutor. He didn't have it right. And none of us do have it right, if not for the grace of God. So we come boldly to the throne, and maybe there is the problem that many have. Maybe we don't come boldly to the throne of grace. That we recognize, I think too often we want to fight the battle ourselves. You know, you can be a hard-working, devoted person that gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and works till dark and still be lazy spiritually. Just because you're a doer naturally doesn't mean you're a doer spiritually. You can be very lazy spiritually. And if you're lazy spiritually, you're probably not getting the grace of God. Because it takes something to get it. We've got to apply ourselves to the grace of God. And it says, in the very language of this, it doesn't say that it just pours out on you when you need it. Well, I'm just going to lay around and wait on it. This says, you. Come boldly. You make the effort. You come boldly. For what? Come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To find grace in time of need. Grace to do what? Power like Samson. That if you come against me, I'll have the physical strength to wear you out. No. I know you probably heard me tell this, but I went to work in the coal mines. I went to the coal mines one time, and there was a guy there, and he was a local preacher. His name was Chuck. And he worked there at the mines, and I come up and said, "Hey, Chuck, how you doing today?" And he said, "Oh, pretty good," but he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I got this lead pipe here, and I'm fixing to go in under there." And he said, "If those guys get on me again, like they did yesterday, I pray God give me the strength of Samson, because I'm going to wear him out with this pipe." That's not what coming to the throne of grace is about. Coming to the throne of grace isn't about ugliness and anger and whipping and beating. It's coming to the throne of grace is to be like Christ in the middle of the conflict. To have an overwhelming spirit and grace of God that allows us to be graceful and gracious no matter what the situation is. That we would overcome that with the power of His grace. To be what we should be in this life. And I'm going to tell you, for everyone that wants to pull a lead pipe, there's going to be in judgment those that was come against that loved them anyway. That found the grace of God to be more than enough match for the misbehaviors of mankind. And you know what? We rub shoulders with the world, folks. And
we need the grace of God. You pray for me.